Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had an amazing week. My name is John Thomason. I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But we are now in week three of our series called Tap Out. Throughout this series, we're talking all about tapping out and submitting to God. Tap out is a term that comes from martial arts and wrestling. And when you tap out, you are literally tapping out either on a person or on the ground. And you are saying, you win. You're saying to them, I concede. You're saying to them, you have control. And when it comes to a fight, when you tap out, it means that you have lost. But that is not what happens when we tap out and submit to God. We actually get the opposite when we submit to Him. When we submit to God, you are actually made stronger. And last week, we looked at how the disciples of Jesus, how they submitted to God, and because of it, nothing could hurt them. No one could stop them. No matter what threats came their way, no matter how much they were beaten down, they were more than conquerors with God on their side. And so last week we looked at what it truly looks like to live a life where you tap out to God, but it leaves you with this big question. And the question is, so where do I start if I want to tap out to God? What does it look like for me when I want to tap out to God and submit to Him? So today we're starting at the very beginning of where we need to start with all things. We need to submit our hearts to God. Because if your heart is not for God, if your heart is not all in for Him, then you will keep fighting God over and over and over again. So this reminds me of another story from the UFC. So the UFC is the ultimate fighting championship. It is where mixed martial artists come together and they fight it out in a ring like boxing, and they're going to determine who is the better fighter. And as the UFC got bigger and bigger and more well-known, there was a show that they started called The Ultimate Fighter, and short, they called it TUF, T-U-F. And this show consisted of two teams of amateur fighters who were looking to make it big. So they would have these well-known fighters as their coaches and helping them through and telling them what to do. And every week, someone would fight to make it to the end to be the ultimate fighter. And whoever won the competition, they got a six-figure contract as a UFC fighter. So something that they're using as their hobby now is a reality to have as a career. Well, the one year, they had this guy named Uriah, and he was amazing. He was fast. He was strong. He had great form. And to this day, still, it is said that Uriah had the greatest knockout in history. And it truly was amazing to see. I remember watching it, and I think I stood up out of my chair, and I was like, oh, that was insane. So Uriah fights, and he gets to the top, and he's in the finale, and he's there to fight for a contract. And Uriah had just destroyed every opponent that he had. So at this point, he was favored to win. Everybody's saying he is definitely the one that is going to get the contract. But then when you see him fight, something was off. And Uriah then was interviewed, and they asked him, so what happened? What's going on? And he said, I just felt so bad for my competitors, how badly I beat them. He said, my heart, it just wasn't in it. And as you watch the finale and you're seeing them fight for the six-figure contract, it was like watching a different guy. They went three rounds, and then it was decided by the judges that Uriah had lost. And when you look at that and you realize the problem had nothing to do with his form, his skill, what he knew, the problem was his heart wasn't in it. He had everything at his fingertips to succeed, but he didn't have heart. This is us as Christians. We know the words. We know what to do. We may even have the skill to be successful. But the problem is, we don't have the heart. We have everything we need to succeed, but we just can't make it work. And it's because our heart isn't for God, it's for what we can do. This is such a harsh truth to look at, because you say, but I'm taking all the right steps. It's not about taking the right steps. Where is your heart? What drives you? What shapes why you get up in the morning? Where are your thoughts and your words coming from? Are they coming from God himself? Or are they coming from your own heart's wants and desires? It's so important for us to give God our heart so we can fully submit to him. If we do not give our heart first, you're going to be fighting him over and over and over again. And so we read about this, and Jesus talks about this in Matthew 15. We're going to go through Matthew 15, verses 1 through 20 from the front. I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I'm using, we have some in the rows, or we have a stack in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. We're going to read this big chunk of verses, Matthew 15, 1 through 20. And then break down what's being said. It says, "Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat.' Jesus replied, 'And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother. And anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your traditions. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' Jesus called the crowd to him and said, 'Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them.' Then the disciples came to him and asked, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?' He replied, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.' Peter said, 'Explain the parable to us.' 'Are you still so dull?' Jesus asked them. 'Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands do not defile them.'" So we start out with the Pharisees and teachers of the law challenging Jesus about what his disciples are doing. They ask Jesus, "Why are your students breaking the tradition that was made? They have not washed their hands before they eat." And what the Pharisees are claiming here is that Jesus's followers are not following God's law. They are now unclean because they are not following the practice of washing your hands before you eat. Now, I want to put a disclaimer here. So, granted, you should wash your hands before you eat, okay? Wash your hands, especially if you're eating with your hands. That's one of those things that I understand you got a fork. It's still wash your hands. But this is a quick way to get sick if you do not wash your hands. So it is a good practice. But the problem here is that the Pharisees are saying that Jesus and his disciples, that they're not following God's law. And the problem with that is that this is not God's law. This is something that was taken from the Old Testament, from Exodus 30, where it talks about washing oneself clean as a high priest. before entering into the temple so you can commune with God. This is not for everyone. This is not a law for every meal. This is not something that God told the people to do or they're not following him. Actually, what happened is the Jewish elders, they decided, they got together and said, this is a good practice. We should have everybody do this. We need to make this a law for everyone. So we know that this comes from the hearts of men. This is not from God. And so Jesus, he challenges them back. And he says, oh, you think my disciples not washing their hands is a bad thing? And you think it's against God? Well, you know what? How about this? Well, you know the Ten Commandments. You know these are the big ten. Everybody knows these. Well, one of them is to honor your mother and your father. And if you do not honor your mother and father, it says in Exodus that you should be put to death. And this is where Jesus gets a little spicy, because he likes to get a little spicy every now and then. So verse 5 and 6, he says, but you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help your father or mother is devoted to God, they do not have to use this money or stuff to help their mother and father. And so I've always found this a little confusing. I'm like, I don't even know what that means. Like, what is Jesus saying here? The thing is, I knew Jesus said it, so I kind of just rallied behind him and was like, yeah, Jesus said it. Boom, take it. I don't know what it is, but so we're going to talk about what's happening here, because there's a lot that we don't understand because we're not part of the Jewish culture. So this is what's going on. There was this word called Corban, C-O-R-B-A-N. And when you declared something that you owned or money and you said this word Corban, that means this stuff is devoted to God. And when you hear that, you go, oh, that doesn't sound like a bad thing. We should be giving a portion to God. We should be devoting some of our stuff to God. But as people, we love to be corrupt. As people, we love to find loopholes. And what was happening is instead of helping their mothers and their fathers as they got older by financially taking care of them, having them move in with them, helping them out with expenses or taxes that they couldn't pay, they would say to their mother and father, I'm so sorry, I cannot use this money, I cannot use this stuff because I have declared Corban, which means it's only for God. It's reserved for him. And so they would leave them in a spot that was not good. But then you find out, in many cases, as this relative died or they moved away or the hard times were gone, those that claimed that this is devoted to God, they would say, oh, you know what? That's no longer devoted to God anymore. I can use it for whatever I want. It's taking like this big tax break when they felt it was convenient. And they were using the temple and God to justify not helping out their family when they were in need. When you understand what's happening, ew, that's disgusting. That's so ugly on so many levels. And when you look at this and you read through this, they were using God and the temple as a loophole not to help out their family that have taken care of them all of this time. They would say, no, I can't. This is devoted to God. Oh, they died. Oh, that's mine now. I can go ahead and do whatever I want with it. And that's why Jesus quotes from Isaiah, and he says, you honor God with your lips. But the truth is, your heart is so far from God. You have not submitted your heart to God, and now you're trying to get whatever you want. We can look at this and say, these people are awful. This is disgusting. But we're just as guilty. I know personally, I've had many times in my life where I didn't want to do something. I didn't want to take the time. I didn't want to take the energy or the money necessary to help someone else. And I know personally, I have chosen a life here of heavenly wealth. One thing I say all the time is, my treasures in heaven are going to be awesome. You'll all see. It's going to be great. You know, I'm not going to have the nicest car, the biggest house, and that's okay, because I don't live for the here and now. But we have had some really hard times. We have lived very far under the poverty line. And I have actually felt God in those times tell me to help the needy. And I had this horrible thought process. And it was, help the needy. I'm the needy. What are you talking about? And I look at that now and I go, ew, what am I doing? I'm finding a loophole not to follow God. And we do this all day long. We say things like, well, this is my only free time. I've worked so hard. I was helping others. This is my time to do with what I want. Or this money here, I understand someone else is in need, but I've been saving for this really big purchase. Or I've been saving for this vacation for so long. I understand God wants me to help this person, and you know, this person came into my life, but this is earmarked for something else. And all we're saying is, mine, mine, it's mine. And that's exactly what the Pharisees are doing here. They're saying, it's mine. It's not God's. It's mine. And Jesus explains it to them. What you put in your mouth doesn't defile you. You're not unclean by the food you eat. You're not unclean because you didn't wash your hands. You're unclean by what comes out of your mouth. Now, I've had multiple people say to me, I don't want to talk anymore about controlling my tongue because it's not fun. I understand it's not fun to do, but this is so much deeper than just talking about the words that come out of your mouth. It's about, where is your heart? And that is why Jesus explains it in verse 18 to Peter. Now, in this writing, we see Jesus asking Peter, because he's like, can you explain it to me? And he kind of has this moment, are you so dull? Like, this is simple. This is stuff that you should know. And what he's truly saying to Peter is, you really don't get it. How much simpler can I make this? Because Jesus tried to explain it with this parable in verse 13. About, if it is not from God, this will not stand. These practices that the Pharisees are pushing, they're not from God, and they'll be gone. Those people in power who are not following God, they will have an end. And in verse 14, Jesus explains why. And it's because people who are not following God, they're going to lead others away from God and into the pit. As the blind lead the blind, you're leading them nowhere but hell. The pit is hell and a separation from God, which means a separation from love, a separation from everything that's good, and a separation from light. And we see Peter has this, I don't know what you're talking about moment. And Jesus explains it to him in very simple terms. It's something that children themselves understand. And so I want to just preface this. This is Jesus' words, not mine. So do not hold this against me. He says, don't you know that whatever you eat, no matter what it is, it's going to go into your stomach and then you're going to excrete it out. You're going to have excrement. He says, it's poop. You're going to poop. Okay, it all turns to waste. That's what he's saying here. His words, not mine. Okay, he's letting you know everybody poops. And he says, whether it's clean or unclean, it all becomes waste. That's not what matters. Now comes the important part, verse 18. But what comes out of your mouth, that's from your heart. Because this is how you truly feel. This is where your true passion is. This is what's going to make you unclean. Because as verse 19 explains, it says, the heart, the desires, this is where all the evil starts. It's right here. Murder is in your heart. Adultery is in your heart. Sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander, it all starts somewhere, and it's in your own heart. Why do we long for these things? It's because we have not tapped out. We have not given our hearts, our desires, and our will to God. Now that we know that we need to submit our hearts to God, you get that big question. That's awesome. How do I do that? What does that look like? So we're going to turn to Psalms 119. Psalm 119, and that's verses 9 through 16. If you have not read through Psalm, by the way, it's fantastic. So if you come to the deep dive this week, I'm teaching, and I use like 3 or 4 different Psalms. So they're so inspiring, and they're so amazing. And so we're going to read Psalm 119, 9 through 16. It says, "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word." So it starts off, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? Now wait, I don't want you saying, well, I'm not a young person. Okay, that's first and foremost, the word young people is something that is up for interpretation. I know that in first service, some of them think I'm such a young man. Okay, I'm in my 30s. And then others will say, oh, young, you're teaching children. So maybe someone that's like 5. I want you to know this is not just for young people. This is just to teach young people on what to expect. But you need to learn it as well. It needs to be a guide for you as well. And it says, how can I follow God closely to live a life that is righteous and good and close to God? It's by living according to His word. This here, this Bible, this is God's word. And this should be known to you. You should understand it. You should value it. You should live for it. We have to give our hearts to God and His words. It always makes me think of this. Personally, I am a guy that loves music, and I know all the lyrics to so many songs. Like an 80s song will pop up, a 70s song, and it just hits me, and I'm singing it. And I'm like, oh, I don't know why I know every single word, but I do. And they can touch us. They can move us. You know when that one song just hits right in that moment, and you're like, oh, I can feel it. This is amazing. It kind of rocks your world. Well, that is how the Word of God should be in our hearts as well. So when something terrible happens, say you've lost your job, or a girlfriend has broken up with you, or you're having some health issues, or someone you know is sick, you shouldn't be running to that song that you're like, oh, it just speaks to me. We should be running to that scripture that just speaks to you. When you're walking in the rain all sad like a music video, you shouldn't be singing a song. You should be saying the word of God. And there's just a couple of verses that I just hit me real quick. I was like, okay, so when I'm feeling unloved or alone, what are some of the verses that can just hit me real quick? And so I went with 1 Corinthians 13:8. God, your love never fails. It's very simple. We should be spouting that off no matter what's happening. God, your love never fails. 1 John 4:8, God, you are love. If I want to feel love, I need to be with you, God. And then we have this one from Lamentations. Yeah, when's the last time you opened the book of Lamentations? It's been a while for me. Lamentations 3:22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassion never fails. That's what should be on your heart. It should be His word, and it should mold you, change you, excite you, get you ready to go. Give your heart to God. Follow Him closely. How do you do that? know his word. When you go back to Psalm 119, verse 10, it says, I will seek you with what? With all my heart. And it says, do not let me stray from your commands. And that's what we all should be asking. We should be saying, God, I'm going to seek you, your will, and everything that you are with all of my heart, because it should be the only desire that I have is to live for you, and do not let me stray away, because it's so easy. And that's what brings me to the challenge for this week. And it's a hard question. It's a question that you're going to have to ask yourself. What does your heart desire? If it is not God, if it is not his ways, then I have another question for you. How's that working out for you? It's probably not going well. I have heard some really sad stories of people that have come up to me and say, I've got nothing to live for. Nothing matters. Everything's terrible. And nobody wants me or loves me. And I say to them, no, you're wrong. You don't realize that there is the creator of the universe who's with you, loves you, and wants you. You should be desiring him, because right now you're desiring everything that is empty. You will never be fulfilled. You will never be whole. You will never find the love, joy, and grace that we can have when we have God. So give your heart completely to him. Let it be your desire. Let it be your push. Let it be your life. And get into his word. Know what's being said here. Let it be on your heart and mind always. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for every opportunity you give us to learn more about you, to understand your longing for us, how much you love us and want us. And you say to us, seek me with all your heart. We need to be going to God every breath that we take is because God is good, and we need to say, God, how can I live for you? I pray that as we leave here, as we leave this safe space that we're in, that we can go out into the world, face the challenges, face the people, face our desires, and say, you know what? I've already won. Why? Because I have you, Lord. We love you, and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.